you. Psalm 23. All right, let me ask a trick question, and I want you to be honest when I ask you this. So you got, how many of you will be honest? You promise to be honest? All right. How many of you have ever seen anything that you wanted? Now be honest. Raise your hand. You ever seen anything that you wanted? How many of you have never seen anything in your entire life that you wanted? All right. I've got some in absentia, some no votes, but that's it's painful to be honest, isn't it? Okay. I want to talk to you about wanting stuff, all right, about wanting things. And you say, preacher, there's nothing wrong with as long as you want good things. It's wanting bad things that's bad. But to a degree, if you listen tonight, you'll see that wanting anything can be counterproductive, and it borders on being a little dangerous. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not up here telling you that I never see things that I don't want. Sometimes I have to cross the bridge and go up Route 35 to get to St. Albans, and I drive by the Tractor Pro shop over there, and they've got mowers and tractors and end loaders, and I want everything on that parking lot. And then I'm driving up the road and I see this this truck sitting there and I want that truck. And then I see you know what I mean, things like that. And I know every once in a while you all see things that you all want. You boys and girls, you ever been to Toys R Us and see anything there that you want? When Autumn was real little, before she went to Toys R Us with her mama and found out that Daddy was telling her stories, she used to go there and she'd play with stuff. And when she wanted it, well, I'd just tell her, Autumn, it lives here. This is where it lives. You don't want to take it from its home, do you? And she'd say, well, no. And so she'd put it back, you know. And we'd just go to the store and play with whatever we liked. You know, we'd play with it, look at it, and Then we didn't want to take it from its home. And every once in a while, if something, you know, was the right price, it was allowed to leave its home, you know. But the other stuff, it got to stay there. But anyway, she found out later on that it was happier with her than it was in the store, and it's better to take it off. But Psalm 23, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. What's the rest of it say? I shall not want. What's the first word in verse 2? He. Okay, the Lord says, the Lord is my shepherd. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? He's God. He's Jesus. He's God, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son. The Lord is my, he's what? What does the word my mean? Mine, possessive. So the first thing that in Psalm 23 is, the psalmist says, the Lord is mine. He's my shepherd. Now, doesn't say the Lord is my genie. Y'all know what a genie is? You know when you rub that lamp and the genie comes out and gives you three wishes? Y'all ever heard that before? I know y'all take your halos off, and I know you're not in the world. You're all heavenly minded. You don't know what I'm talking about, but you've heard that before, and they rub that genie, and the genie comes out and give you wishes. That doesn't say the Lord is my genie. It says the Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd's job? What does a shepherd do? He guides. He directs. He protects. What else does he do? He provides. Does a sheep ever have to go to the shepherd and ask the shepherd for anything? Never. You see, the shepherd is so good. A good shepherd, he observes his sheep. And the good sheep just follow the shepherd, and they don't ever have to worry about anything. They don't ever have to ask for anything. They just follow the shepherd, and they're so obedient, and they're so in tune with the shepherd that the shepherd doesn't have to worry about anything except providing for them and caring for them and just being their shepherd. He gives his whole life for nothing else but for being their shepherd. I mean, that's all he's doing. He's not worried about anything else, just being their shepherd. So the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What does the word want mean in that? It means you won't do without. It means I won't need to ask for anything. I won't have to ask for anything. I won't want anything. Everything that I need will be provided. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Quickly, let's see what he does for him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Not dry pastures, green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. How many of you ever been thirsty before and couldn't wait to get a drink? Boy, oh boy, I'll tell you what. There's nothing like a good drink of water when you're hot and thirsty, is there? Well, this shepherd is so good. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. That means He provides for me. He gives me food to eat. He gives me my strength back. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, my shepherd is so good that I can sit down right in front of my enemies and not even have to worry about it. How many of you ever been so worried you couldn't eat or felt so bad you lose your appetite? Anybody? Ever? You know, the Lord is saying, the psalmist is saying here that the will of God is that we recognize that we have such a shepherd that we never lose our appetite. You know, there's sometimes that you get so worried, you don't even feel like you lose your appetite. You lose your desire to eat. But the Lord is saying here that in the presence of your enemies, it says, Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup is half full. My cup runneth over. Isn't that good? Sometimes a young man I know, I won't name his name. He'll just go by the name Bub. I won't call his name. But sometimes he'll come into the refrigerator and he'll look in the refrigerator and see if the drink, whether it's milk or see if the juice are in there. And if it's almost empty, the jug is almost empty, he'll say, can I finish that? Sometimes I look and it's about that full, you know. And he'll say, can I finish it? That means, can I have all of it, the rest of that? Do I have to pour? Can I just finish it? And you know. Sometimes I'll say yes, and boy, he'll smile and finish it. Now, he don't finish it unless it's finished, so don't worry if you come to my house that Bub ain't been chugging on the drinks, at least while we're watching, so you won't know, amen. But anyway, he says, "Thou prepare." He says, my cup runneth over. Isn't it good to have plenty? Now, really, now every one of us, how many of you would rather drive a car on a quarter tank of gas or on full? Isn't it more fun to drive a car that's on full? You ever drive a car that was running low on gas? That's a bad feeling. My dad, as far as I know, my dad never ran out of gas all the time driving. And my dad believed it was a sin, I think, to drive in a car that was on a quarter tank. I mean, the idea of running out of gas just bothered my dad a great deal. And one day, me and him and Matt were up in the mountains, and I had the map out. And we were wanting to go up to this other place to fish, and we'd seen it on the map. And I said, well, look, Dad, here's a shortcut. We can go through here, and we'll just drop over into Virginia, and it cuts us right back, and it'll save us a lot of time. So we did. And we was low on gas. And we kept driving through pasture fields, and there was all kinds of beautiful pasture fields and all kinds of sheep, by the way, beautiful pasture sheep. But I couldn't enjoy them because there was steam coming out of my dad's ears, because we was driving and driving and driving and driving, and we wasn't getting anywhere closer to any town, and the gasoline thing was getting low, and he was about to run out of gas, and boy, I could just feel the steam, and I was praying, "Dear God, please put a gas station up here somewhere." And we were still in Virginia. And here's how I knew we got into West Virginia, because we started down this road, and I seen diapers hanging in trees and junk everywhere. And I said, well, we're back in West Virginia. So at least, and finally we come out, and boy, was I happy to find a gas station. And for my dad to pull in there, and I could just see the temperature gauge going. But man, listen, hey, I'd rather drive a car on full than I would on empty. And the Bible says, "Hey, my cup runneth over. More than full." Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let me just talk to you just for a second about verse 6. It's the best way in the world I know to explain that verse. There was this lady that Jacob, she was afraid that somebody was following her. Have you ever, I shouldn't ask you this, you know, you ever been afraid to go in your room? It was dark in your room. You ever been afraid to go in your room, Gabe? Or check under the bed to see if there's something under the... I'm not saying that there's anything under any of y'all's bed or anything, but this lady was like that. She had in her mind that somebody was following her. Matter of fact, there was two men following her, and they never did anything. They never hurt her, but they scared her to death because they followed her everywhere she went. And she went to all these different doctors and told them, and they thought she was crazy. And they said, they tried to explain to her, "There's nobody following you." But the more they told her, she just thought they was part of the group. One time, there was this little lady. I'd been cutting her grass and down in South Charleston. One day, she didn't have any family around. And they called me and said, "She's in the hospital." I went over there, and we're about 4:30 in the morning. They called me back and said, "She's leaving. She wants to go home, and she called you to come and get her." Big mistake. I went over there. She'd already signed out. And we started to get on the elevator. We got on the elevator, and she said, She said, "I ain't getting on there unless you all get on there." She said, "It's a trick. I should have known something was up. This is a true story. I'm not preaching. I'm telling you a true story." She said, "Everybody get in the elevator." So we all got in the elevator, and we got down, and she said, "That ain't really you." She said, "You ain't really you." I said, "Well, I think I'm me." She said, "You're not." I said, "There's my van." She said, "That's a trick." She had in her mind that they were out to get her. They had given her some medicine that made her go crazy. Well, I got her in the car, and I was going to take her home, and I had made me a fresh cup of coffee. Now, there's nothing in the world like your first cup of coffee in your thermos bottle. Well, I'm driving along. She picks up my coffee, and she's getting ready to take a drink of it. And I'm thinking, "Oh, no, don't do that." You know, she's 195 years old and slobbering everywhere, and she's going to drink my coffee. And she got it this close to her mouth, and she said, "Nuh-uh." She said, "You ain't going to poison me." And I said, "That's right. Yeah, you better give me that. That's poison." And she set my coffee cup back down. I said, "Give me that." And she set it down, and she said, "That's poison in there." I said, "Okay, whatever." And it was cold that morning. I got her to her house, and she got up there, and she was trying to find all of her keys. I'm not making fun of her. This is sad, but it's a little bit funny, too. But she was trying to find her keys, and I said, "Let me find your keys." She said, "No." She said, "You ain't taking my keys." And I said, "Okay, well, then that was far enough." I said, "You get inside there, and I'm going." Because I was afraid she's going to get inside and call the police and sign a warrant on me. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I got out of there, and I didn't go. I called her family and said, "Y'all help. I'm afraid to help anymore. I don't know whatever happened." But anyway, listen, this lady was like that. She thought everybody was out to get her. These two guys were following her. All the doctors was in with. Well, finally she went in this church one time, and there was a preacher in there. He was just in there walking around, and she asked him, she said, "Are you the preacher? Are you the pastor here?" And the old man, he was old, and said, "Yeah, I'm the pastor." And she said, "Can I talk to you?" And he said, "Well, sure." And he could tell that she was scared and worried, and he said, Can I help you?" And she said, "I hope so." She said, "Nobody can help me." She looked over her shoulder, and she said, "You watch." She said, "They'll be here anytime." He said, "What? Who?" She said, those two men. She said, they follow me everywhere I go. She said, I can't rest at night. She said, they're outside my house. She said, when I leave in the morning, she said, I watch and they wait till I turn the corner and they follow me. She said, nobody can help me. Everybody thinks I'm crazy or they're just in on it and nobody can help me. And that preacher listened to her and he could see that she was scared and he said, I think I know the answer. He said, I think I got it. He said, let's open her Bible. She opened her Bible and he handed her a Bible and she opened up and he said, I want you to see this verse. And he said, Psalm 23, verse 6. And she turned over there to Psalm 23, verse 6, and she looked at it in the Bible and he was reading it and it said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He looked at her and he said, are you a Christian? She said, yeah, I was saved a long time ago. And he said, there it is. He said, you're right. He said, goodness and mercy have been following you all the days of your life. And guess what? They're going to follow you all the way to heaven, so you may as well just get used to it. She jumped up and she said, well, wonderful. Big smile on her face she took out of there. I mean, listen, hey, and he saw her around town, and that lady was the happiest lady you ever seen. She just walked around. I mean, she wasn't afraid of anything anymore because goodness and mercy was following her everywhere she went. That was the assurance. And that's what the Lord's saying. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the day. Now, that lady, that promise wasn't just to that little crazy lady. It was to us crazy people too. Hey, listen, goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. Listen, and then look what it says. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a promise is that? Hey, when this is all over, it's all this and heaven too. Amen. When you leave here, we're going to go to heaven. Amen. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's what the Bible says. Now listen, now let me show you something here real careful, just for a minute. I'll read you a verse. You don't have to turn to it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, thou shalt not covet. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor his wife, nor his servants, nor his maids, nor his oxes. It said, thou shalt covet anything that is thy neighbor's. Nothing. Anything. Not just the good things, but the bad things. He says, thou shalt not covet anything that is thy neighbor's. And then, listen, I want you to see a verse. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Beside Hebrews 13, verse 5, you ought to write Psalm 23. Because they're parallel verses. Look what Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 says. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. Look what it says. For what? He. Circle that word he. For he hath said, what's the next word? I. Circle that word. That's a personal pronoun, two of them, he and I. Both he and I refer to who? To the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Look what the Bible says. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow thee all the days of thy life. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? Look at the colon there. Why? For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now look at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, circle that word boldly. You know what boldly means? That means you can stick your chest out and say, boldly, I know in whom I have persuaded. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Isn't that good? The Lord is my what? The Lord is, in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. In Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now I want you to look in Psalm verse number 10. Write down beside Hebrews Psalm 10:3 so that you'll know where to go to, or write it down in your list somewhere. Look at Psalm 10, verse 3. Now here is where all this come from. Somebody name something for me that you think that God really doesn't like. Something that's really bad. Gabe? Sin? Okay, that's pretty general. Name a sin, yes. Cussing, that's right. How many of you think that God likes cussing? I'm sure God doesn't want us to cuss. Somebody name something else. Pride, drinking, false gods, boasting. Brother Mullins said pride. Did someone? Bad music, that's right. Bad music. You name another one. Somebody else, yes. Drugs. Lying, yeah, lying. Abortion, murdering babies, abortion, babies. Yes. Backbiting. Adultery. Backbiting, Jacob, is when you talk about somebody when they're not listening. Once you go outside for a minute, I want to talk about you for a minute. Something else. Somebody else got one. That's a pretty good list. Now look what the Bible says in Psalm 10, verse 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, comma, whom the Lord abhorreth. Huh. You hear that? The Bible says the Lord abhorreth the covetous person. You know what abhor means? It means to absolutely hate it. To despise it. I mean, we talk about sins that are an abomination. But here God names a sin that He says He abhors it. What is it that's so bad about coveting? God says He abhors coveting. Does it say that He abhors people that covet bad things? Or just coveting? Coveting. Now here's why. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 34 just for a minute. Psalm 34, verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. What's the word blessed mean? Anybody remember? Happy. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look what it says, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Huh. You know, what does that verse just said? That verse has said, if you seek the Lord, that word seek means to look for. Have you ever looked for something? You ever looked for something you couldn't find? How many of you adults have ever looked for your keys before? How many of you ever, you kids have ever looked for a pair of shoes that you couldn't find? I know what you look for. How many of you ever looked for a certain toy that you couldn't find? You looked for it everywhere. Were you glad to find it? You know, listen, the Bible says, look what it says. It says, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. How many of you believe the Bible? Amen. How many of you believe when the Bible says they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing? Amen. See, but preacher, there's lots of things I want. How do I get them? I want them, but I can't get them. You won't get them by coveting. Because God hates coveting. Now, I'm preaching to myself just as much as I am to you folks here. Say, preacher, how do I get anything good? How do I get stuff? How in the world am I going to get that tractor? Oh, never mind. Now listen. Hey, but I got good motives. Amen. Hey, listen. Hey, I want to explain that to you. I'm going to explain that to you. The reason why I use that for an illustration. How many of you know what these are right here? Eyes? How many of you have eyes? You know, you see things with your eyes and you want those things, right? How many of you already have some things that you like? Who gave you the things you like? God does. Now here's the question. Listen. Adults, children alike, how much time do we spend thanking God for the things He's already given us? Say, well, what's God given me? Everything you have that's any good come from God. Here's a verse you can write down, James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17, every good gift, every good thing comes from God. But we so often see things that we want. And then what do? If we're good Christians, what do? We pray for those things. And we don't get them, and we wonder what's wrong with God. Because we're not getting those things we're praying for. And you say, preacher, should we not want things? What's wrong with wanting things? I mean, they're not bad things. I mean, they're things I need. I'm not wanting something bad. I'm not praying for my neighbor's ox. I mean, it's just something I need, God. Because God wants us to need Him more than we need anything else. Did you hear me? God wants me to seek after Him. If you covet something, what do? You seek after it, don't you? You go after it. You try to get it, right? Now listen, I'm talking to every person here tonight because I want you to have a closer relationship with God. I want every one of us here tonight to be able to say what David said in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah! I shall not want. I don't need anything. I got everything I need. Now, did that mean that David lived in a box and didn't have anything? If you'll check it out, David had lots of things. Hey, God wants to give things. The Bible says He gives good things to His children. God wants us to have things, but He doesn't want us to want things. You understand that? The Bible says you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive it. You don't receive it because you ask amiss. So when you go back there to James and you read that circle, that word it. The reason we're not getting it is because we want it. And God is not an it. We need to seek God, not it. It is the result of a relationship with God. Very few marriages are happy marriages when either the husband or the wife get married because they think they can get something from their spouse. Do you know the purpose of marriage is not what you can get out of it, but what you can give to that person you're marrying? Amen.
Amen.
I didn't marry my wife so I could get something from her. I married her because I loved her and I wanted to love her and take care of her and be good to her. Amen. That's the purpose. That's what marriage is all about. You don't look at that person and say, some lady might say, well, I think I'll marry him. He's rich. That's why my wife married me. She knew I was rich. And then she knows she's still waiting for me to get on television, be one of those television evangelists. She told me one time that she wanted to be the next Tammy Faye Baker. Can you all believe that? I'm just telling you what she told me. And I said, look, I'm not Jim Baker. She said, but you can be. And so I'm trying. I practice crying at the home, you know. And I've been trying to sell stuff. I've been making up stuff. And anyway, I'm sorry. I think y'all laughed today. You need to laugh tonight. But listen, you don't go into a relationship seeing what you can get out of it. It won't work. It'll end up in misery that way. Now listen, when it comes to God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He cares for me. He takes care of me. I mean, look at the green pastures. Look at those other sheep over there. Boy, poor sheep. Boy, they ought to have my shepherd. I mean, we drink the best water. We got the best grass to grow in. I mean, listen, but how many Christians you hear complain and murmur? A whole lot. You know why? Because oftentimes we look out into the world and say, boy, I wish I had that. And then we've got the audacity to go to God and start praying and say, God, won't you give me that? It's so good. It's a good thing. And you know what? God wants to give it to you. But He's not going to give it to you because it's covetousness, and God hates covetousness, and He's not going to change His word. And I'm telling you tonight how to get good things from God is to quit wanting everything and wanting anything and just want God. Just want to follow Him. You know what a sheep wants to do? Follow. You know what a shepherd wants to do? Lead and take care of his sheep. A shepherd longs to provide for his sheep. That's his whole life. A shepherd looks for green pastures for his sheep. He looks for the best waters for his sheep. He looks for the best food. He wants his sheep to be... I mean, what shepherd wants his sheep all to be sick and dying and sickly looking? Matted up. None. And he's the best shepherd there is. He's not just your shepherd wanting to get you to heaven. He wants to take care of you down here. Listen, those of us that are saved, we represent God to this world. They look at us and we profess to be His. We're His children. The Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we all automatically assume that just means don't cuss. But listen, when Miss Jessica over there, when she took my name, her name had been Hilliard. But the day she married me, her name became Bradley. She took my name. What she was saying is, I'm trusting you. I'm taking your name. I'm trusting you to make sure I got food to eat. And boy, does she eat too, I tell you. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. I'm taking your name. You love me. You provide for me. And by the way, that's one of the things I said I'd do when I asked her to take my name. Amen. And brother, listen, when you take God's name, when you get saved, you become a Christian, a child of God. You take His name. You're His. Don't you think God wants to take care of His sheep? You say, but preacher, why aren't we getting the things that we're asking for? Because we're like the world. That's why. Look at Psalm 84. I'm going to show you these verses and we'll go home. Psalm 84. Look at Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. How many of you like sunshine? How many of you like shade? The same people that like sunshine like shade. Isn't that something? Well, the Lord's got it covered. The Lord is a sun and a shield. Amen? The only thing I like better than sunshine is shade. See, you're hard to please. No, I'm just what God said. God knew that, and that's the way we all are. Amen? Winter time comes and we say, man, I can't wait for summer. Summertime comes and we say, man, it's burning up. I can't wait for winter. Got to cool down a little bit. Amen. I mean, listen, the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. You ever notice something about God? He's in the giving business. What's the Lord ever taken from you? Well, He took my beer bottle all. He took my sin. He took all my habits. You know, the Lord, only thing the Lord's going to take is bad things. He's in the give. He wants to give you good things. Amen. Look what the Bible says. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What does it mean to walk uprightly? It means to walk with your eyes on Him. Amen. You know what upright means? I'm looking at Him. You ever watch somebody that walks like this? You know what they do? A lot of times they stumble. But if you're following somebody, and you'll just watch them, you don't have to worry about anything. Now, when I was a little boy growing up, my dad taught me to watch for one thing. When we was walking in the woods, he taught me to watch for the sticks, the tree limbs, and you know, we both walking along, and I'm going walking along, boom, one of them hit me in the face. I think that was just a little life lesson, you know, pay attention. You know, and a few of those things come back and hit you in the head, you learn to keep your hands up, you know, keep your eyes open and watch. But listen, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. What does uprightly mean? You're not walking like an animal. How many of you walk like an animal? How many of you have 2 feet to walk on? You know what animals do? They walk around with their nose to the ground, trying to smell their way. That's how they live. God made us different. We walk uprightly so that we can walk with our eyes on God. It's what God wants us to do. Amen. You say, but preacher, how am I going to get everything I need if I'm not looking for it? You just look for God and God will take care of everything you need. He'll supply every... No... How many of you believe the Bible? Did I ask that question already? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk... You know, the charismatic movement runs around and says, you can ask God. You ask God for $1 million. He'll give it to you. No. No. And the only reason they get it is because they're charlatans and liars and they trick the people into sending it to them. And they get it from their father, the devil. That's right. But you, hey, listen, you say, but preachers, that mean if I serve God, I'll never have anything? Nope, doesn't mean that at all. It just means you keep your eyes on God and God will give you lots of good things. You just got to keep your eyes on Him. I mean, listen, we got a generation of people who have no interest at all in God. God's just a big snooze to many people. And we wonder why we don't ever get anything from God. You know a father wants to give good things to his children? I mean, that's just natural. He really does. He wants to give good things to his children. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 30. I hope this clock's right up here. Is it like 8:30? All right, good. I'm having a good time. Look, turn to Luke chapter 12. Hey, I'm just giving you a lesson that I give myself because I needed it. Jacob, you didn't fall in back there, did you? We might have to go check the bathroom, see if Jacob fell in. You say, that don't sound good on the tape. Well, don't listen to that part. If you're listening to this on tape, I apologize. Luke chapter 12, verse 30. Now let's go back a little bit. Verse 22 says, and He said to His disciples, what are disciples? People that follow somebody, right? Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. You know what ravens are? They're like buzzards. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls, better than the birds? How many of you think God thinks more of you than He does a bird? Well, sure He does. Say, yeah, but Mother Nature likes the birds more. No, there is no Mother Nature. Amen. And God cares more for you than He does the birds. Amen. Verse 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? How many of you like to be taller? You know you can't make yourself any taller. You can't do it. Verse 26 says, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? You know what the rest means? All of it. Everything. Now look what he says, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. How many of you ever cut grass? You ever notice it just keeps growing back? I mean, the more you cut it, the more it grows back, and you cut it and it grows back. And it's going to do that until God stops it from growing. You're not going to stop it from growing. Amen? Because God takes care of it. Verse 28 says, If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not that which ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, how many of you all believe the Bible? Have I asked you that question yet? Now, God is able to provide everything you and I need if we just let Him. Now, look what the Bible says, verse 22 says, fear not, little flock, the Lord is my... Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know someday who's going to rule and reign with God? Y'all know who's going to rule and reign with Him during the millennial reign of Christ? We are. So, preacher, He ain't giving me enough in this lifetime. I just go ahead and cut that coveting out because there's coming a 1,000-year reign. And the Lord hates covetousness. And when He starts dishing out during the millennial reign, I don't want Him to look at me and say, there's old covetous Bradley. He wanted things more than He wanted me. See, the Lord wouldn't hold that against me. Well, I don't know. The Bible says that He'll give us the kingdom. Amen. And I'm not the Lord, that's a bad thing to say. But He's a Father, and every fathering instinct I got that's any good, I got from Him. And I tell you what, around my house, you don't get much by demanding it. Amen. I mean, if my youngins come to me and demand something, they probably may as well ain't going to get it. Amen. Even if it's food, you might starve to death if you demand it. Amen. But I try to feed them things and get things they like. Amen. But you won't get it by demanding it. These charismatics say, you just tell God, you demand God, you tell Him. But listen, that's the craziest stuff I ever heard in my life. You don't go around demanding God. I've heard people say, well, I read the promises of God. I'm going to hold Him to His promises. I love the promises of God, and there's nothing wrong with claiming them in your prayer or naming them, but you ain't going to take a promise to God and shake it at Him and hold it to Him. Don't do that. He's the Father, amen? You don't come to God that way. That's wrong. Look what the Bible says in Romans, and I'm done. I'll show you a verse. Romans chapter 8. Boy, if the rest of them don't do anything for you, this one will. Verse 31 of 8, chapter 8. Mark this verse in your Bible on your notes. Man, oh man, what can you add to this verse? This is the cherry on the cake right here. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32. He that spared not His own Son. Look what it says. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things. Now, did you read, how many of y'all believe the Bible? Now, did you read all that? So, preacher, so I'm just going to start everything I see and want, I'm just going to start claiming it and holding God to His promise that, God, You said You'd give me everything. No, God hates covetousness. You say, well, how am I going to get what I want? Quit wanting everything and just start seeking God and wanting God. Get up in the morning and thank God for what you have. And we can't help it. We're flesh. We're going to see something that we want. But you say, well, I ain't going to look at anything bad. Well, listen, now that I'm not even sure that ain't a lie. But I guarantee you're going to see something good that you want. I was just driving up here and I saw some people eating an ice cream cone. I wanted one. I'm still wanting one. It's just the way we are. But listen, hey, we got this idea, well, if you see something bad and you want it, don't dwell on it, but yet we'll dwell on the other stuff. How about we just stop wanting anything and just start wanting God? And quit looking for things and just say, I'm content with what I have. Thank You, God. You say, well, will that trick God and get Him to give it to me? Well, you're going to have to get over that attitude first. And once you get over that attitude and you really are content with God, I got good news for you. Then God looks at you and He said, that's one of My sheep. And God studies His sheep. He said, there's Gabe. He said, boy, he loves Me. He's excited about Me. He's happy. He loves Me when it's raining. He loves Me when the sun's shining. He loves Me when everything's right and it ain't no good. And he said, boy, he said, you know, I know something about Gabe. He said, he likes lollipops. He said, I'm going to give Gabe a lollipop. And Gabe gets that lollipop and he says, thank You, God. I didn't even ask for it. And God gave me a lollipop. He said, God must already know what I want. She said, preacher, we have not because we ask not. Well, won't we start asking for a closer relationship with God? Maybe we're asking for things when we ought to be asking for a closer walk with God. How many of us ask for a closer walk with God? Ask God to help us to eliminate some of the things in our schedule that keep us from Him so that we can... I'm afraid to pray that prayer. Amen. I don't want to ask God to eliminate things, but ask God to help us to have more time with Him and more fellowship with Him. Amen? And let God study us and get to know us and let God provide for us. God wants to give us good things. Amen. Hey, guys, come on in. Amen. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you believe the Bible? Raise your hand. You can put them down. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you believe, you know you're saved, you believe God wants to do good things in your life? God wants to provide good things. But far too often our eyes are on things. Our eyes ought to be on Him. We ought to go home and we ought to take inventory of everything we have and all that God's done for us and just start thanking Him for everything. And then just seek Him. Seek a closer walk with Him. And then just thank Him as He sees us and He blesses us and provides for us the good things we need. Amen? I don't know about you, but that little Bible study means something to me. Because there's lots of things I feel like I need. But I don't want to spend my life asking for things. I'd rather have a walk with God and let God provide me what I need because He knows better than I do. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight, God, to leave here with a greater desire to know You and to walk with You, Lord, and to have a relationship with You, to put up our wish books, dear God, and to stop our window shopping and just put our eyes on Jesus. And seek You, dear God, throughout the whole day. And seek to have a closer walk with You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. The offering plates up here if you have something to drop in there. Otherwise, you're dismissed.